Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Every one of us is susceptible to moral sin. And since we're on the internet, we're more susceptible than ever. Our entire culture is sinking into a pit of moral decay. Today, words from Jesus on dealing with impurity. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we finish up a series on Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. Erwin Lutzer now concludes the high cost of sexual purity. Avoiding sin means honoring God, which is far more valuable than our pleasures.
It's worth it because I'm there with you, and it is better to go through your pain and your loneliness in fellowship with me than it is for you to live in sin and in the process hurt me, grieve me because of your sin. So Jesus is saying, do whatever you need to do. If you've been in this series of messages, you know that each time I've given an assignment. Every message had an assignment. And this time your assignment is called unplug. Unplug. You know, if it's TV that causes you to sin, unplug it for a week, for a month. Unplug it. Maybe unplug it permanently. I know at least of two men who have told me that they wouldn't have TV in their home because it just caused them to sin. You know, John Piper, a well-known pastor there in Minneapolis, he does not have a television set in his home. And I've heard other pastors or speak and say, well, you know, that's a little bit extreme. Well, maybe, but, you know, it would be better for him not to have a TV, if indeed, and I'm not saying this would be true of him because I admire him greatly, but it would be better for him not to have that than if the TV were to lead him into sin. Jesus is saying, get radical, unplug. Now, you know, if you need your internet because it's part of your work, fine. But join Covenant Eyes, where a friend of yours can track all of your sites that you visit on the web. And when you decide to unplug, tell somebody that you're unplugging for a week or whatever it is that you decide to do, or permanently, and so that they can check up on you and they can see whether or not you follow through. We are so weak. We need one another. And we need accountability. So you ask God, what do you want me to unplug? What is it that causes me to continue to fall into sin? Now, what I'd like to do is to give you three bottom lines as we wrap up this whole series, and each of them is very, very important. Number one, remember that God loves you just as much when you fail as he does when you succeed. God loves you. You know, we've been talking about addicts, but the fact is that most of them, because of their shame and their guilt, they have no sense of being loved. In fact, that's their great fear, is to be exposed, because if they were exposed, nobody would love them, they think. Well, I hope that's not true, but God loves. Now, if you want an illustration of this, think of those of us who have children. When our children misbehave, we didn't say, well, now I love you less. At least I hope that you didn't say that. In fact, sometimes when they misbehaved, it really brought out the emotion of love in us as parents even more, because we saw that the misbehavior was leading them in dangerous paths, and that's the way God is too. He is a father. The Bible speaks about God as a father even in the Old Testament in Psalm 103, where it says so clearly that the Lord is our father and he is gracious and merciful. And like a father treats his children, so the Lord treats those who love him. So don't ever be discouraged and say that my situation is helpless. Absolutely not, because if you know Christ as Savior, you are the object of God's love. But he's waiting for you to say, you know, it's really time that I ended this game and became honest, because truth sets us free and lies never really set us free. They only increase the slavery. So number one, be encouraged. God is there. Secondly, one appetite must replace another. This is absolutely critical. One appetite must increase another. You say, well, earlier in the message you referred to the man who wept, but he didn't deal with his appetite. How do you deal with the appetite? Well, the answer is you can't deal with it in a vacuum. You can't deal with an appetite simply because you've even done the assignments that we've handed out as this series has progressed. You cannot do that. That doesn't go to the level of appetite. You say, well, then what were the assignments all about? The assignments, unplugging, the assignments of 3 consecutive days, which I, without television, every week, which I've basically done now for about 5 weeks, that all helps those who desire to really walk with God in purity, but they find themselves falling back from time to time. So the assignments help that. But it doesn't help the person who doesn't want to be fixed, or the person whose need is really deeper, or the person who has a wrong appetite. Now, the problem here is this. If you think only in terms of the negative, you're never really going to change, because as I mentioned, the negative doesn't change us fundamentally. It sets up circumstances so that we can. Well, you say, well, what do we do? A number of years ago, Rebecca and I had lunch with a rather famous couple. I won't mention their name, even though the story of the wife has been written up in a book, but I won't mention who, but just know that they're rather famous. And this is her story. She was a street girl in Los Angeles. I think if I remember correctly, and I'm not exaggerating, she had 4 or 5 abortions before the age of 20, full of drugs and the whole ugly lifestyle. She wanders into a mission in Los Angeles and is gloriously converted because Jesus saves sinners. Aren't you glad that Jesus saves sinners? But she knew that she had to think differently. So what she did is she joined a Bible study. She became discipled. And then she told us, through this period of time, in a matter of weeks, I memorized over 450 verses of Scripture. She says, I was immersed in the Word. Why? Because the Bible says in the book of Romans that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we might prove the good and acceptable will of God. And that as a result of that, her whole mind had to be reprogrammed. And the Word of God does that, and it does the transformation so that it actually even takes care of the appetite. Why? Because you see, your appetite for God now is being developed, and therefore the other appetites which drag us down are losing their power. Jesus talked about a demon that left a person, and then the person was totally empty, and then 7 more demons came in that were worse than the other. And it's the principle of replacement. You know those families that I told you about that unplugged the television set for a full month? They organized things for their children to do so that something took its place. Should have emphasized that more throughout the whole thing. It comes down to the transformation of the human mind. You know, there's a story about a man who took a bottle and just jammed wires into it. So the wires were jammed into this bottle, and then he took a hammer and he hit the bottle, and the bottle broke and shattered, but all the wires retained their same position. That's the way it is. Jesus comes along and says, I set you free, but it doesn't mean immediately that all the wires, so to speak, are put back in a proper relationship. That is the process that the Holy Spirit does when we fill our minds with God's Word and we become God pursuers with our whole heart. Then God says, I'm going to step in and I'm going to help you. It isn't just the negative. It'll never do it. It'll never do it at the level of desire. Finally, always keep in mind that the centerpiece of everything here at the Moody Church and the Bible has to do with Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing, we are all condemned as sinners. As I mentioned, all of us have broken God's laws. We are all on a various continuum of struggle with sin. If we put the addicts way over here, many are on a lower rung perhaps or on a different trajectory, but we're all struggling with sin, so why should we live and shame people and try to cajole them and so forth? And we're fellow travelers here at the Moody Church, and we want you to come along for the journey, but it has to happen with your involvement in our ministries, in the lives of this church, and the opportunities that are there for healthy relationships and help. And remember this, The good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for sinners and took our place and bore our sin, and that when we receive him as Savior, we receive his righteousness, and he stands in for us and meets God's requirements on our behalf. You say, well, if that's true, why all this emphasis on us dealing with these individual sins and addictions? Because even sins for which we will not be condemned still destroy us. And that's why. You know, you look at the ministry of Jesus, think of how open he was to sinners. You know, people who didn't want to eat with the publicans and the sinners and the prostitutes, and there, Jesus is hobnobbing with them. Why? Imagine a woman, it says a woman of the street, she was a sinner. And all the self-righteous Pharisees, oh, if he were a prophet, he'd know what kind of a woman she is, and he wouldn't allow her to touch him. In the presence of all of these self-righteous people, Jesus looks and says, you have been forgiven much, you love much. You have been forgiven, go and sin no more. And he said it right there in the presence of all these self-righteous people. And oh, how they hated that. He's accepting prostitutes and forgiving them. Listen, you've heard me say it before. We have a great Savior for great sinners, all right? And in Jesus, we find rest. Praise God. Let's pray. Now, as we end this time, do you need to pray to God, by the way? I've had 6 weeks of messages on this. Why don't you just talk to God for a moment? What is God saying to you? What issues do you need to deal with? Oh, Father, we're all broken. We're all in need. We all stand condemned, but we also, in Jesus, stand received and loved. And so, Father, we thank you. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would do a mighty work in all who have come. Help them not to forget this message. Pray, Father, that in the night that they might awaken and remember it, that during the day when they go home, they'll remember it and they'll respond to whatever you ask them. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and you've just heard the conclusion of a series of messages titled, Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. I really don't think that there is any series of messages that we need as desperately as the one that has just been shared with you. That's why at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given some information as to how these messages can be yours. I have a burden. I want you to share them with your friends. Listen to them multiple times. Each message contains an assignment that all of us should be doing, so that we might take positive steps to deliverance. God knows we need it. Well, what you can do is find out all about this. Simply go to moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org. God bless you. I'll see you next time.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has just wrapped up The High Cost of Sexual Purity, the final message in his series, Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. The need for us to guard our hearts has never been greater. This 6-part series will be sent on CD as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.